Veronica Wedgwood and Sally Zuckerman had it. I thought I was as good as them. You see, I didn't like quite so much, but I knew the person I wanted to most in my environment was Maurice Barra, who I think by that time had still worn the walls of what the one not to terribly wanted it. And I knew that he would be indignant if I got it. Jealousy, envy, and so on. So I left Oxford for 3 days. We went to Italy in order not to have telephone calls, not in their transfer. That, I must say, not many people rang up or wrote. Not so terribly as I feared. People did write, of course, and people telephoned, but not, I didn't want journalists telephoned, you see. And I wrote a letter to Maurice Barra and apologized for accepting it. Of course, you deserve it far more than I do. Everyone knows that. But, and he was what's called quite nice about it and said, O.M., the rich man's CH. Typical joke.
Did you feel the same thought as somebody else that you might be jealous and you feel unfair?
Nobody, no. I do. The only other person who wanted it was Fred Eyre. I was quite open about it. And Victor Rothschild, who I'm sure would like it. I know people want it. But I don't think that was so many years after speak. I don't think I cut them out. But at that time, I was 10 years younger than Maurice Barra, and he longed for honors, longed for them. He did become a companion of honor, but that was done for him by, a lot of people wrote, mainly by the secretary of the cabinet of that period, by, what is his name, William Armstrong, who had been at Wadham. Sir William, not present, not Robert.
I don't know.
William.
Armstrong.
William Armstrong.
I thought it was friend.
They both were. One was... No, that's right. He was not. He was the head of the civil service. One was the head of the civil service, and the other was the cabinet secretary. Now it's amalgamated. But it wasn't then. William Armstrong was a pupil of his, and got him a knighthood and a CH. But I was embarrassed by that too. And I had to write the Queen's Secretary saying that I thought I would not be in England when it was announced.
When the ceremony took place, or?
No, I had to go and visit the Queen for the ceremony.
So what embarrassed you?
When I accepted it, he rang, I'll tell you exactly what happened. And Aline will confirm it to you. He telephoned to me He wrote to me to Wolfson College and said the Queen wished to give me the OM. I telephoned to Aline and said, a disaster has happened. She said, what do you mean disaster? Somebody died? I said, no. Oh dear, what has happened? You've been offered another honor. She said, I said, yes, exactly. I'm coming home at once. That's exactly what happened. She'll confirm it to you. So I came home and said, it's too awful. Then I telephoned the Queen's Secretary, whom I knew, to whom I said, well, I mean, it's wonderful, the Queen, I didn't even deserve it. Still, I would say yes. But when will the ceremony occur? I think I'd like to go away while it happens. I didn't want to join this. I see, you're going to take evasive tactics, he said. I said, precisely. He's quite amused. I've forgotten his name.
Churches?
No, before Churches.
Michael Abin.
Exactly. That's when it happened. So it happened in about 1973. Then.
I can tell you, you are quite right. It's 72. In 73, Churches was already the secretary.
Before. 72, that's what it is.
Yes. Exactly. Now, when you married, where the children of Aline?
There were three children.
Michel.
Michel Peter and Philip.
Michel was born after that.
No. Michel was born in 40, in 36 or 7. And this happened in 56. So he was 19 years. Yes. He was, I think, what was he? He was about to go to Harvard. He was at Oxford, I think. Rather unhappy. He was an undergraduate student here. Undergraduate. And then there was Peter, who was 10. And there was Philip, who was 6. Well, Michel, of course, knew exactly what was happening. He was terribly bullied by aunts in America originally. Part of his character, part of his difficulties, and he's been got by appalling treatment of him. Aunts was quite probably liked him, but was a German bully, disciplinarian. Have you ever read David Copperfield? Have you read David Copperfield? Yes. Well, Colleen can't read it or see it on films because of Mr. Murdstone's attitude to David Copperfield. You remember, he was the husband of his mother, his stepfather, who bullied him. She burst to tears when that happens. But in the end, they got on very well. By the time I met him, so he was rather impassive. Took no, and came to our wedding. I mean, it was with a head. I tell you, Peter didn't quite understand what it meant, but was perplexed, rather worried. His father didn't like him, which made it a bit easier. There was a governess called Miss Lee. They were both deeply attached to her. She, fortunately, took to me in a big way, and didn't like Hans. And that's what made all the difference. Absolutely. Determined the whole thing. Very fortunate. Philip had no idea and said to Eileen, have a good marry. This is strange that he married. Didn't know what that meant. Later, I think, well, Philip was his father's favorite. But it never made difficulties in our relation. I kept very tactfully aside. I didn't try and bully them and so on. But our relations are very, very good. Always have been.
And did you have sort of relations with other children in your family? I mean, on your family side. I mean,
what contemporaries? You mean contemporaries, people of my age?
Yes. I mean, no. Children of your relatives, of your friends. Did you develop any?
No. I never liked children particularly. No. Just like Princess, Prince Royal. I didn't like children. No. I was notorious. I kept on telling Aline, I think, up to the age of about 8 or 9, they're just like animals. Automata. They're quite nice animals, but if you can't talk to them, no good. I'm not going to pretend to be that age or make baby talk. I can't do that. I was notoriously not a child lover.
When you say notoriously, it's in the family or
only
among your friends?
Only among my friends and Aline and so on. Kind of a joke.
There is no one children among your son or daughter of your friend that you developed a sort of
personal relation. Well, let me try and think.
Godfather of somebody?
Yes. I was a godfather, so-called, to a child of the late Caron Ruiz. The notorious, but I never saw them. I'm no good as a godfather. I was made to at the birth, at the christening, and I was a godfather to somebody else of the same kind. Marlene's godmother to Stuart's second daughter. Wait a minute, I'm trying to think who else. The godfather too. Yes, one of Richard Wallheim's sons. They didn't behave like godfather. They gave him no presents. I never saw them.
I am a better godfather than you.
I'm sure you are.
I remember Alexander.
Exactly. And I'm no good. I'm an absolutely useless godfather. I don't even remember that I am one. Hopeless.
And yet, coming back to the question, if you developed any relations...
Yes, I'll tell you. The only children I am on positively good terms with are the Brendel children.
Brendel?
Yes, their children.
How old are they?
There are three of them. One must be about 11 or 12, then 8 or something, and 6 and that kind of individuals. Yes. She had a child fairly recently.
But Dr. Brendel is not so young.
I don't know what her age is. 40s. But I think the last child was born, I don't know, 6 or 7 years ago. Maybe more, I don't know. But anyhow, when I go there, which I do from time to time, they're very affectionate. And in Italy, they come and stay with us. I have a very good relation with them. Eileen always complains that I'm fonder of them than I am of our grandchildren.
Well, it happens very often.
Of course.
Fine. Are you fine?
Go on. No, go on.
Now, I want to make clear your family background, though we discussed it.
Go on.
The name is Berlin, but it comes not from the... Who was the Berlin?
My grandfather. My father's father. He was adopted by the man who married his mother's sister.
By the man who married...
His mother's sister. Uncle by marriage.
The gentleman who adopted your grandfather...
Yes.
Married...
Married my grandfather's aunt. The sister of my grandfather's mother. And my grandmother's name was Fruma. Typical Jewish name, Fruma. Her sister was called Chayeta. Partly Chaya and partly certainly Frenchified form of Chaya. They were the daughters of the son, whoever he was, of the Tzemach Tzedek, who was the third Rebbe of the Lubavitch dynasty.
Yes.
Third Rebbe. First comes the Harav Hazakein, then comes Harav Haemtzai, then comes Tzemach Tzedek, from the name of his book. Like the present Rebbe, he was the son-in-law and nephew of the middle Rebbe.
And Chayuta and...
Menachem Mendel he was. Chayeta
and Fruma,
her sisters.
Sisters of the Tzemach Tzedek.
No, they're granddaughters.
They were the granddaughters of
Tzemach Tzedek, yes. Schneerson. Schneerson was her name.
The granddaughters through the father or through the mother?
Must have been through the father, because they were called Schneerson. Their name. I mean, maybe their grandmother. The mother was also Schneerson, probably the father.
Then the two were the granddaughters of the Tzemach Tzedek, who was the third
Rebbe.
King, the third king.
Third Rebbe of the Lubavitch
dynasty. Yes. Tzemach Tzedek, Menachem Mendel. Yes.
His son, I don't know his name. Son's name, I don't know. But who the following Rebbes were, I don't know.
Now, so who?
They are brought up, these girls are brought up in Lubavitch. The court. And the court of the great saint.
Yes. Now, who married your grandfather? The adopter of your grandfather?
The man who adopted my grandfather was called Yishayahu Berlin.
Yes. And he married?
He married the granddaughter of Tzemach Tzedek. Chayeta. Keep saying Chayuta.
Because in Hebrew we say Chayuta.
In Hebrew it's Chayeta, she was called Tante Chayeta.
He married
I to know her I had Genoa's Tante Hayat in German. Tante Hayat in English. And they had no children.
And they had
no children. So he adopted his sister-in-law's son.
Berlin, who adopted. The son of
no, no. Shoyal Berlin was the brother-in-law of Fruma. He married Fruma's sister. Who his father was, I have no idea. But you see, now Fruma was called Zuckerman because she married Michael Zuckerman. So her son, who changed his name to Berlin, was born Dov Ber Zuckerman.
Again.
My grandfather.
Your grandfather was born Dr.
Zuckerman.
Before he was adopted?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Naturally.
Then Dr. Zuckerman.
He was adopted, he was very young.
Uh-huh. When he was adopted, he was Dr. Zuckerman.
Yes.
And given the yes, when he was adopted, he was Dovbert Zuckerman. Was he given another name when he was adopted?
Yes, no. He made it called Dovbert Berlin. He lost the name Zuckerman. And simply changed his name. So changed his name from Zuckerman to. And he became the heir and the adopted son of this millionaire.
A millionaire whose name was Ishayahu Berlin.
Yes. And he was a Lubavitch Hasid and a very rich man. And he came from, I think, Suraj or some town like that, but lived in Riga. Lived in Riga from the 1870s.
And he was a businessman?
He was he was an owner of forests. He owned vast tracts of land. And forests, he was a timber merchant, yes. He was head of a firm called, I can't remember what the firm was called, Berlin and Company, and the timber was cut in the western province of Russia, was floated down the Dvina or Duna River to Riga, whence where it was sawn into logs or sleepers, railways or whatever it might be, boards, and then shipped to Europe.
Now, do you remember him?
He died before I was born.
Was he involved in the Lubavitch?
That's why I was called Israel, which I couldn't use. I couldn't have been if he was alive.
In the Sardic, you can.
You can, but not Ashkenazi, you can't.
Was he involved in the Lubavitch affairs? I mean...
Who?
Israel Berlin.
He used to go visit the Rebbe, of course, from time to time.
But not
he paid visits, probably paid him money, probably gave him gifts. I don't know who the Rebbe was in those days. I think he was called Harav Shmuel. I think he was called.
Now, what kind of life did he live in the modern house?
Who? Certainly. Lived in a large house in Riga. Large, rich house. Large house that he owned in Riga. And employed about 200 people.
And what kind of
wear? No idea. I never saw him. I'm sure he wore a kind of Jewish, a sort of frock coat. Yes. He had a beard. I know what he looked like. Yes. Looked very neat. Short white beard. And European clothes. with the
European cars.
Yes. It was very good looking. It was very good looking.
And
my great grandmother, I knew.
His
widow is. I was taken to see her when I was 3 years old. And I stood in the doorway. I was told to go up to her armchair. She was then very old. And to kiss her hand. I refused. So I never did so. That was very badly received. And I was more or less made to leave the room. My parents were not pleased.
Sure. Now, she was your grand-grandmother.
Yes.
Great-grandmother.
Great-aunt.
Great-aunt.
Sister of my great-grandmother. Yes. Uh-huh. My grandmother, Fruma, I met in the village of Andreapol, where we were in 1915. She came and stayed there with, I suppose, son, I suppose, who's, my grandfather. And she lived in a large house. I remember she spent two nights in the house which we were given in that village. It was a large house. And somebody there wandered into our bedroom and she took off her wig and I thought she was bald. I was very shocked. She was in her late 80s.
Now, what kind of languages did they speak?
Yiddish. She spoke Yiddish.
But you knew Russian?
My great-grandmother certainly not. Enough to do as she kept the shop, whatever it was. She could talk enough Russian to communicate. The language is Yiddish. So it was with Shai Berlin too. Yiddish.
Now, but what about business?
He had people who spoke Russian, German, employed such people. My father knew languages, was his favorite grandson, and became a sort of factotum, became his principal agent for everything.
But the grandfather ran a business, quite a successful one?
Great-grandfather. Adoptive great-grandfather.
Yes, and
without, he knew a little German, because it's close to Yiddish, Russian, I don't think.
But he had to rely on correspondence.
Absolutely. Certainly. He employed a vast number of people for those days. I think I told you about him.
Yes.
With his villas in Mentone and Bad Homburg.
Yes, which you compared, you told me about it, but
yes.
I have to check the
case, all right.
Whether it's clear.
All right.
Because this, that I have to check.
He lived like a Maharaja.
He lived like a Maharaja.
Well, he had all these people around him who were complete slaves. You see, they're all Jews. He employed no Gentiles.
About whom?
But Israel Berlin.
About Israel Berlin.
He lived in a huge house with every kind of servant and employee and bookkeepers and cashiers and jesters and chassidim of various kind knocking about whom he supported.
Yes. But that you were told about.
Yes, exactly. Of course it is.
Now, this huge building you think about is the one in Riga or in the village?
No, nothing happened in the village. Uh-huh. Nothing happened in the village. And all that happened in the village was that my great-grandmother stayed there for about 6 months. No, Riga. And I told you, he was a very rich man. He owned all these forests. He sold a lot of timber to Germany, England, France, etc. My father was the principal traveler of the firm who made the contracts. He learned English, learned French. He spoke German. Perfectly, my father. He was bilingual and Yiddish too, although they couldn't have talked to his man. And he was very fond of me. He was the favorite.
Your father was the favorite
of the old man. Every morning, as I told you, he would send a messenger to the Governor General of what was it called in those days? Leafland, that's what came out of the letter. Kurland and Leafland were called Leaflandia. Kurlen, no, no, Estonia is really quite different. No, no.
Kurlen did not well last year.
Yeah. And the governor was called General Zvigintsov. And he inquired after his health. Every afternoon, an official of Zvigintsov used to come to this rich man to inquire after his health. Every day,
after
his health. So the former of Marav Israel, was a former relation between the governor general. He was the richest Jew in Riga. And he was made a hereditary honorary citizen. It was done for rich merchants. We did not want to make them. It was the gentry. But it gave him very certain hereditary rights. He could live anywhere. He could, no disabilities. So on. This was given to rich men. Rich Russian merchants. And Jews as well. But a bourgeois honor. He was not promoted to the ranks of a gentry. Nor could he be with spoke no Russian. See? Right. That was formal to and fro visit. He's talking.
Those are stories that were told.
Tell me exactly. No. Quite early on, I heard those stories when I was still in Russia.
By your mother, by your father?
Yes.
Now, they were telling it in a way just to
amusement.
Not to
aggrandize.
You are from a very well.
No, no. Not at all. Not at all.
Surely.
Not at all, no. Funnily enough, they weren't themselves. They knew this was just Hector Dupre. That made a difference.
Really?
Yes. If he'd been the real grandfather to them, I think it might have been different. But they never boasted about origins. The only thing they were was Hasidim of the Lubavitch dynasty. Now, my father's mother was called Shifra.
And your father's mother was Shifra?
Yes. She married my father's father, who was the first cousin of my mother's mother. And Shifra was the daughter of the Lubliner. The Lubliner was Hasid, couldn't be otherwise, with both the Rebbe and the Rav, which is unusual, but occasionally happened. He was the Rav of the community, quite officially. And because he was a Hasid, and he wrote a book called Torat Chaim, by which he was known. So it's kind of dynastic marriage. The only other I never met him, because he was dead before I was born. The only Rebbe I ever met in my life was a man called the Rogachover, whom I met in Riga. He was somewhere in Latvia. And this happened after the war, when we came back. And I was then 10 years of age, exactly, younger, well, 9, I don't know. And there was a minyan, a Hasidic minyan, which was called, Shai Berlin Synagogue. He had his own synagogue, my so-called grandson, to which all these people came, had to come, all these clerks, everybody, museum, had to come. Totally, exactly. Private chapel. And this man went to it.
Because he was
this man was a Hasid. And the question was whether I could form part of a minyan under the age of 30. So he talked to me and cross-examined me with my knowledge and said yes.
Because there was no knowledge.
Because I was adequate.
It means his interpretation was
so holy. Holy. What he said went. He was not the rabbi, but he was saint.
The Rogachover.
You see, he declared that I was perfectly possible 10th man. So I became 10th man. I don't think I was aware of it. I don't think it's fully explained. I didn't glow with pride.
Yes.
That's it. He looked marvelous. He had an extraordinary appearance. Extraordinary. He really had what's called a spiritual appearance. A wonderful, long, flowing white hair, a beard, but he looked like somebody. He looked very, very impressive.
Now,
like some kind of prophet.
And yet, your parents didn't really feel that they belonged to a sort of Jewish aristocracy?
Yes. Yes, up to a point when they were Hasidim. Because they were descended.
No, but
from the Harav Zakin, their alter Rebbe, as he was known, Ladir, called Ladir, the original Shlesham. Because of that, there is Shlesham, yes. Because of that, there is a certain Yichus. Certain Yichus was. Among Chassidim. Yes, certainly.
And it meant to them something.
Well, certainly means something to Menuhin. Yehudi Menuhin, who is also descended from Shneur Zalman.
And does he...
He knows it.
And does it mean anything?
It does, yes. Yes.
And to you?
Certainly. He was brought up. That is the only thing which was made my family in any way different from any other. It doesn't mean much. It means something.
Now, and again, I'm repeating...
Shazar, for example, was always visiting me and talking to him. For that reason, still reason. It doesn't mean very much, no.
Isaiah, I ask you and I repeat the question. It is a riddle. It is a puzzle that the Lubavitcher of those days don't try to exploit your reputation, your name.
In no way.
So
in no way.
Unlike
in no, I'm telling you, because I had no contact with them.
But no, they did not try.
They tried to begin. In London, they did try. They asked me to do a lecture. They sent me their literature, but no serious attempt. I'm telling you, no. It's a case.
It's a case because they usually stick to anybody.
No.
And they don't.
No effort. It was obviously they're clever enough to know.
Don't send him a Tzash Nura Professor.
I have received it.
Once, but not every year.
No, certainly
something
not.
Something is really incredible here, because it's so much unlike them. They are so active.
I know, but I'm telling you.
I know, you're telling you.
I think the people who manage their affairs in London are clever enough not to. I think somebody else might have done it.
I've
had no trouble from them.
They've established now an active center in Oxford.
I know.
And they didn't approach them.
No,
there is something more than that.
Well, what is it?
I mean, my guess is that they consulted the rabbi.
The rabbi in
yes.
He said no good. And decided it's no good.
Otherwise, I can't understand.
Could well be.
Because for them, even Shlonsky, everybody...
Could well be.
I mean, otherwise...
You discovered that I was in the British Embassy, Oxford.
No, I...
Nothing
to
do with Jews.
Apparently, you... That you are... I mean, that you are a skeptic, or that you are... No, it's not that...
Simply, I was not...
The intelligence net is the best in the world.
Well, they knew I was not from. They knew I didn't go to synagogue.
Yes, that's not enough.
Well, then what could it be? I've never denounced...
That you would be of no use.
In some way.
You are worthless.
Yeah.
I mean, their intelligence network is...
Amazing, I'm sure.
From all points of view.
Zionism was all right. That would not have... Would Zionism be an obstacle?
No. I mean, they are now trying to make...
Now? But in the past? I was a notorious Zionist.
No, but
notorious.
Yes, no, that's indeed. You see Shazar.
Well, but he's a follower. She's a Shneur Zalman.
No. Now, it is something that really is very, very interesting.
Well, you might find out.
It'll
probably give me trouble if you do. Let me tell you. There's a rather peculiar man called Beryl Rodel.
Yes, I know him.
Okay. Yes. He is a Hasid. His father is a pious... No, I don't think so. Maybe he is. His father is a pious Hasid. I had to go to the Brit Mila of his son. It was an appalling ceremony from my point of view. First of all, I forgot that I'd been invited. They wouldn't start without me. I was rung up somewhere in Banbury Road, where the Wolf's office was, and I had to go to the house. It's called Ho Chi Minh House, where he lived.
Here in Austria?
Yes. He was a Belu.
I remember Belu.
He was a Belu. His son was born. He's called Joel, after me. His father was there with Long Peot, and of course there was a Moel, and the Master Belu, Christrael, and the Chaplain of Belu. It was under wearing little bright blue caps, and other Jews. It was a purely Hasidic ceremony, with a lot of Hasidim from London. So they knew where I was.
Yes, certainly.
Even then, they've never, I mean, on that occasion, it was a Hasidic ceremony which I attended. Still, nothing.
I must tell you, it's history.
All right. I'm very glad it happened. But you might, how can you find out?
I don't know. Well, one ought really to, well, one can find out. One can try.
Who do you know in that world?
I mean, usually people know people who are in the inner circle of the rabbi.
Well, of course they
may be ready to reply, maybe not. I mean,
but who do you know in the inner circle?
I know somebody.
In New York?
In Israel, he's related to somebody in the inner
circle. Yeah, well, don't inquire too busily.
No, but
otherwise, I may get persecuted.
No, I mean, if there is a real reply, they will not get...
Look, they know who I am for a simple reason. In quite a popular intelligence. Quite a popular intelligence. Nothing to do with intelligence. In the book called Beit Rabbi, I occur in the genealogy. Yes. That's enough.
No, there is
I'm on the genealogical tree. I'm called Berlin Zuckerman.
No, I mean...
Shazar, you're very well. I presented Shazar with a batim of the tefillin of the Harav HaEmtzai. Silver batim. Who's that man?
So,
I used to know about Hasidim. I rather approved of them until the last 20 years or so.
I can see.
It's gone wrong.
And now, some Hasidim didn't go wrong. I mean, it's the Lubavitcher that became so...
Fanatical. I wonder why. His predecessor was a perfectly respectable figure called Yosef Yitzchak. Quite all right.
He's a learned man and everything, but the movement now is really... And they managed to charm people of all classes in Israeli society. But there is a crisis going on there, because there is no Yoresh, and there
Sortland.
Is apparently going to be...
Dynastic trouble. What in sort of successor trouble?
Alternatively, there are some suspicions that he's going to declare himself the Messiah.
Before he dies.
But
then in that case, the next world has to begin. I mean,
yes,
that case, Moshiach ben David or Moshiach ben Yosef? Which? A Tumshchim.
I don't
know. Tumshchim. You know that?
Surely. All right. Now, as we have to move to another...
The Dalai Lama and the Panchen Lama.
Yeah.
I don't think he will.
I don't think I will.
But otherwise, last Trump, resurrection has to begin immediately.
Okay.
If it doesn't, something wrong.
Yeah.
Don't think they'll let him take the risk. I know.
In the New York Times.
Mamash.
Long article about
it. Yes, there is.
Fine. Now, when you look back on your... let's say intellectual life, academic...
Identical to claims of Mashiach. What do you say? Yemei HaMashiach Yitchilu.
Well, that... yes.
Not quite. He could say that. He could say that.
Came close to saying
it. He could say that. Bahu Yemei HaMashiach. Soon. Soon the revolution will occur.
Through your intellectual life, political life, academic life, do you remember any radical changes of attitude to topics, subjects that were a sort of a personal experience? I mean, that you...
I understand what you mean. No. I regret to say not. I know exactly what you mean. I've changed my views, but never by some catastrophic change. I've never had a revelation. On one day I'm X, next day, no. I've changed.
Yes.
By nature.
Don't surprise.
By nature, you see, I'm pacific, and somewhere gradual. When I changed my philosophical views, of course. But it did not happen as a sudden conversion.
I mean,
no conversion.
But let's say the change of philosophical views is a gradual process.
Yes, certainly. Views, interests, kind of things I like doing. No good food, or as the French call it. No thunderclap. No thunderclap. No voice of God speaking from the...
Sure.
No burning bush.
No, but I mean, there is another sort of... Not through voice of God, but through...
some shock. Some shock or torment.
I mean, let's say a process like...
or shock.
John Strachey went through with his
disappointment for coming. Of course. He immediately became disciple of Toynbee.
Yeah. So,
but they need the system.
So you didn't have this kind of...
No. The nearest way to the present.
Pardon?
The nearest way is the present moment.
You mean...
Yes. The nearest way. When I consider that I may have difficulty in going to that country, to Israel, that's the first time in my life. I felt quite so appalled. I was asked by Gabi whether in my life